Good morning, and welcome to our service of worship here at First Forth Ireland. You're all very welcome. Now, as we're about to go into the autumn programme, there's lots of announcements. So sit back, get your ears open, and listen very carefully, because there's quite a few. Monday, the 1st of September, we have the Ladies' Bible Study commencing at 7:30 in the Minor Hall. So the Bible study this year is on the book of Galatians. And if you plan to go to that, it would be good if you read up on Galatians, well, the first chapter. And again, if you haven't gone to that yet, you can start now. Great opportunity to get together with the other ladies to study God's word. Then on Thursday the 4th of September, we have the registration evening, the GB registration evening, from 6:30 to 8 p.m. Friday, the 5th of September, we have the Boys Brigade registration evening from 6:30 to 7:30. That's not for the senior company, as they will be up in Dunluce, I believe. Then, looking to next week, on Monday, the 8th of September, we have a church committee meeting in the Morrison Room at 7:30. Wednesday, that next week, we will have our midweek. It will be Belfast City Mission. Coming along to that, Mr. Paul McCaw will be the special speaker. So again, please plan to come to that. Get that date in your diary. That's the 10th of September at 8 p.m. here at our own church. Some other announcements, hopefully, on the PowerPoint. Oops. There's the... Yep, the Mission and Praise Night, that's tonight in Downshire Road Presbyterian Church in Newry. So if you're free tonight, that will be a very helpful service to go to. Again, the guest speaker is Mark Moorhead from Scripture Union, and there'll be different young people giving some explanation of the different groups and teams they were on in the summer. So again, if you can, if you're free tonight, please go along to that. And the next slide is reminding you of the Tech and Care this Thursday at 7:30 in 2nd and 3rd Worth Ireland. Please make sure you have your name down if you're planning to attend that on the sheet in the foyer, and also please plan to attend at least 10 minutes before that. I'm assured it will start promptly at 7:30. I'm not sure what time it will promptly finish at, but hopefully it will be as efficient as possible. And thank you to all those that are going through that training. All those who look after young people need to. So thank you for taking that time this Thursday to redo the training. Again, I will be there as well, although later ministers will also get done separately. But endure it with you. But, I'll be training at the same time, so it'll be a good evening together. The next slide there. Back to school community prayer night. This is in the high school, Monday, 8th September at 7 p.m. to 7:45. So we're all invited to go and to pray for the school as it starts a new year. So please avail of that if you can. Unfortunately, we will be having a committee meeting that night, but if you're not in the committee, please plan to go to that also. Then next, a reminder of our Hope Explored. Will the DVD work? Hopefully. We have a little DVD just explaining what this is, so hopefully, here we go.
Hope Explored is a three-session series about the person and work of Jesus and the hope that's found in him. Many people in the world today are living without hope. They've seen their hopes dashed or disappointed. But we believe that there is real and lasting hope in the world, and that hope is found in Jesus. Hope Explored is very simple, really. First, we discuss together one of the big longings we all have in life, for hope, peace, or purpose. Then there's a short teaching film from Luke's Gospel, which is focused on the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And finally, we explore a passage of Luke's Gospel together in a short study. So Hope Explored is three sessions presenting the essence of the Gospel from the Bible. And what we found is that it's an appetizer for people. They go through this material and they find that they want to explore Jesus further. Our prayer is that as they meet Jesus in the pages of the Bible, they'll turn to him in repentance.
So that's a little reminder of what Hope Explored is all about. Again, we did the course ourselves here, and several came to it. This time we're planning to get together with 2nd and 3rd Brookvale and St. John's and do it in Chandler's house. But this course is for everybody. Again, there are posters around the house, around the town already. And if you know of a shop that hasn't got a poster and would take one, please take a poster and put it up. There's also mini invites in the vestibule. And part of the reason for that is for you to take one and pass it to someone else. Just encourage someone else to come along. Also, Seamus was on with him this morning. If anybody here would like to give out some invites in the area that you live, please take some invites, write your name down in the leaflet in the foyer and where you're going to give out those invites. And then tomorrow I'll share that so we're not all duplicating. So we're also going to meet on the Tuesday before to go and try and get to all the doors that we haven't gone before that. So here's the three things that you need to think of doing. If you're planning on coming, put your name down. Secondly, if you're planning to take some invites and give them out, put your name down and the area you're going to give them out. And thirdly, if you would help with the tea, we already have at least one going to do that, but if you would like to help with the tea on the first evening, that's going to be first responsibility, so please put your name down for that as well. There's three different places to put your name down, so make sure you look carefully and get your name down in the right place. Thank you. Again, I always really enjoy giving the announcements out. Again, if something is a little bit hazy, you're not sure, please come and talk with me afterwards, and I'll point you to someone else that knows exactly what's going on. No, I should. But thank you very much for putting up with all those announcements. We gather here, of course, to worship the one true living God. In Psalm 62, we read, "My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken." Let us stand and worship our great loving God as we sing our first hymn, "Come People of the Risen King." Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we rejoice this morning as we gather here in your presence because you are the King of Kings. Lord, and we humble ourselves before you. Lord, we rejoice because, Lord, day by day, Lord, things come into our lives and we are not totally sure how to deal with them. But we're thankful that we can come to you, the King of Kings. Lord, we rejoice. Lord, we rejoice that you are there to guide us, to lead us, to strengthen us. And Lord, as we gather here this morning, I pray that you will strengthen each one of us. Lord, may this time be a time of great blessing as we sing your praises together. Lord, as we focus upon your word, as we focus on you, Lord, may each one of us be lifted up, encouraged, also rebuked, Lord, in our own lives as we hear from God's word the things we should do, the things we shouldn't, and as we realize we have gone astray at times. Lord, help us to be quick to confess our sinfulness. Help us to be quick to ask your help to do what is right. So, Lord, we can be a blessing to those around us. So, Lord, may this time be fruitful for each one as we listen to your word and as we take the opportunity to praise you as we should. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue in the book of Proverbs. Next week, we will be turning to Jacob. We'll be looking at a series that I've entitled Unhappy Families, and we'll be looking at Jacob right the way through the life of Joseph. Hopefully that will take us up to Christmas. But for now, we're going to finish our short series on Proverbs. And we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 to 19. Here we have a list of some of the things that God hates. So let us hear the word of the Lord. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension among brothers. Amen. May God bless the reading of his holy word. Now, if the children would like to come up to the front, I'm going to come down and speak to everyone there. Now, good morning. Tell me this. Is there anything that you hate? No. Anything that you really, really hate? Do you all love going back to school, yeah? But you don't hate it, no? No, because you know it's so good and helpful. Is there anything you really hate, though? We just heard seven things that God hates. Don't let me tell you some things that I hate. Now, this could be, don't you be using these against me, some of these things. Do you know one thing I really hate? I really hate the sound of polystyrene rubbing together. Anyone else really hate that? I cannot stand that. If I hear that, I have to leave the room. And my son knows that. So guess what my son would do at Christmas? So the sound of polystyrene rubbing together, I cannot stand that. It makes me cringe. I have to leave the room. So if I come visit you and you bring out the polystyrene, I'll know. Do you know something else I hate? You know by the looks of me, there's not much that I don't like to eat. I'm just listening to see if there's any laugh there, yeah? I really hate licorice. Anyone here like licorice?
Nope.
I cannot, even the slight taste of it, I cannot handle it. Licorice, I can have nothing to do with it. It would make me sick, so licorice, I have nothing to do with. Do you know what else I hate? I hate traffic lights that shouldn't be there. Anyone here hate traffic lights that shouldn't be there? Yeah. Every day going up and down, I'm wondering whatever the problem is will be sorted out in that little road. But sitting there, some just go through them, not looking at anyone, and some wait. But I really hate traffic lights that shouldn't be there, in my opinion. Maybe there is some other reason, but if there is, it should take less than 6 months to get it sorted. But anyway, that's my wee rant for the day. There are things that God hates, and one of those things is this. This verse tells us in James 4, verse 6, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. God opposes the proud. Pride is one of the seven things listed in the proverb that I read earlier in the Proverbs. God opposes the proud. What does it mean? What does it mean to have pride? Do you know? It doesn't mean you should still know that you're special, shouldn't you? You are special. Never forget that. You're made by God, made in His image. So you are very special. But when the Bible talks about pride, it talks about people thinking they are so great and others are less than they are. When the Bible talks about pride, it's people being so full of themselves. I can do everything by myself. I don't need any help. And you see those other people? They're so beneath me, I'm not even going to give them the light of day. That's what God hates, that type of pride. And in the Bible, we see it at different times. There was this king, and this king was full of pride. This was one of the kings of the Old Testament, and you usually hear his name mentioned with Daniel. Does anyone know who he is? One of the most difficult names that we perhaps learn and try and say at a young age. Who in the congregation thinks they know who it is? No? Nebuchadnezzar, yeah. You see, it can be even a hard name for adults. Sometimes you don't like Nebuchadnezzar. This was one of the great kings of Babylon. And boy, did he think he was great. He thought he was amazing. He thought there was no one quite like him. And he was so full of pride that God sent Daniel to warn him. He had had a dream, and Daniel told him through the dream, Nebuchadnezzar, you have to humble yourself. You have to tell God you're sorry and admit you need his help. But Nebuchadnezzar, he was a proud man. And one day he stood out on his city walls. They were very wide, so he wasn't in danger. He looked all around and he thought, he said this, is not this great Babylon which I have built by my mighty power as a royal residence and for the glory of my majesty? I am so great, he was saying. He looked at Babylon and thought it was all about him. Had he built the kingdom of Babylon by himself? Do you think he had? No, he had lots of people that helped him, including God, the Bible says. All he thought about was himself. But as soon as he said that, God spoke, and God said, this kingdom is taken away from you. This kingdom is taken away from you. You will not have it anymore. And straight away, the Bible says, Nebuchadnezzar was transformed. The Bible says his hair grew like feathers, his fingernails grew like talons. I know no one would ever grow your nails that long, but to have fingernails like a bird's, like an eagle's, and the Bible says he couldn't think straight either. And this is the way the great Nebuchadnezzar was left for 7 years, nothing more than a wild animal. Where was his pride now? You see, God had punished him. God opposes the proud, and sometimes God acts straight away. Sometimes he waits. But remember, pride like this is sin, and God always punishes sin. Now, if you're full of pride, you probably won't become like this, so don't worry. But God hates pride.
God will act. So whenever you feel really full of pride that you're better than everyone else, you should ask God to forgive you. God will. But don't go around being full of pride. Nebuchadnezzar, he stayed like this for 7 years. 7 years. He was wild. He ate grass. The grass is okay for cows, but not for kings or for you or me. But that's what he did until the Bible says he finally came to his senses. He finally looked up to the heavens and said, I bless the Most High and praise and honor him. So finally, he gave praise to the one that steward. Finally, he gave praise to God. He humbled himself. And the Bible tells us straight away, he was back to his normal self. The king, although now he was humble. In fact, if you go to your Bible and read in Daniel chapter 6, you will read the words of Nebuchadnezzar yourself. Nebuchadnezzar finally was changed. He was humbled. He did look to God for help. Remember, you are very special. God created you, made in his image, but so is everybody else. So don't be so filled of pride you think you're better than others. You are amazing, but you're not better than others. You're not too good to help others. So remember, when you're full of that pride, ask God to forgive you and make sure you're always helping others. Those in your class that need help, help them whenever you can. Humble yourself to help others. That's what God wants us to do. God opposes the proud, those who think they're so special themselves, better than others, but shows favor to the humble. So make sure you're humble. You're seeking God's help. You're seeking the help of others, and you're always willing to give help to whoever needs it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're a God who loves us and cares for each one of us. In your eyes, we are all special. You created us, made us in your image. Lord, help us never think we're more important than others. Help us never look down on others. Help us never think we can do everything by ourselves, so we don't look to you and ask you for help. Lord, forgive us when we act like that. Help us to be quick to seek your help because you're God. Help us to be quick to help others when we can. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, we're going to stand and we're going to sing our children's hymn, Did You Ever Talk to God Above?
Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're a God who loves us and that cares for each one of us, that each one of us is special in your eyes. You're our creator. You have made us in your image, and you have given us gifts and talents we can use to bring glory and honor to your name, to help those around us. So, Lord, we give you thanks. Lord, we give you thanks for your God who does provide all that we need. And Lord, again, you have over the past week. So we give you thanks. And Lord, we give you our offerings this morning once again as signs of our thankfulness to your God who provides, who gives us all that we need. Lord, we thank you. And Lord, we thank you that we can bring our prayers before you. And Lord, I pray today especially for those things, Lord, that will be happening in the next number of weeks. Lord, we thank you for the different activities that will be starting up again. Lord, they're simply not activities, but opportunities that we can gather in your presence, that we can learn from your word together, that we can reach out to others together. So, Lord, we give you thanks for them. We thank you for the ladies' Bible study as it starts on Monday night. We pray, Lord, that will be a great opportunity for the ladies to have fellowship together, to continue to grow together in you. Lord, we thank you for the GB and the BB, for the registration nights this week, and then as the companies gather again, week after week. Lord, again, we thank you for the officers, the helpers, and pray, Lord, that you will use them, Lord, as they work with the girls and the boys. Lord, just give them the strength, the wisdom, as they lead. And Lord, we pray that they will have the privilege of leading some of these young people to yourself. Lord, we thank you for the Sunday school teachers here from First. And we thank you for the children that come along to Sunday school. We pray, Lord, that you will bless there also as the teachers faithfully explain your word to the children. Help the children understand it and help them respond to it. Lord, we thank you for our young people, for our young people in the youth fellowship that will start later this month. We thank you for them too. We pray that you'll continue to help them as they grow together, as they also serve in different ways in this church and beyond. Lord, strengthen them and help them too. Lord, for the PW, as it will start, Lord, encourage those from our own congregation, but also those from outside, Lord, that will come to that at times. Lord, may that be a time of great blessing and also an opportunity for outreach. For the Thursday fellowship, as it will start on the third Thursday of this month, Lord, may that be a good time of fellowship also as we get together. Lord, as we have refreshments together and as we learn together and encourage each other, Lord, use that also, I pray. Lord, I pray for the men's fellowship, as, Lord, they will be planning to get together too. Use that to encourage the men. Lord, give wisdom there also. Lord, I pray too for the Hope Explored. Lord, as we seek to work together with other churches reaching out into this town, Lord, we pray that many will be encouraged to come. Lord, that you will encourage us, show us people that we can personally invite and bring along with us, that will be a time of exploring your word, that the people that come will feel free to ask questions. And through your word and through the Holy Spirit, you will guide us to give your answers. Lord, may that be a great opportunity in reaching out in this town and beyond. Lord, we pray that you will continue to lead us, guide us in all the activities, Lord, that we have. Lord, again, so they're not simply activities, but opportunities to serve you. And Lord, I thank you for all the leaders and helpers that helps so much in this church, for those that give of themselves sacrificially, humbly. Lord, I thank you for each one, and I pray you'll continue to strengthen, bless, and lead. Lord, continue to give us the opportunities, Lord, to live our lives for you before others. Help us, Lord, in our sinfulness to humble ourselves before you, always be looking for your help, so we can do what you call us to do. For your glory and honor, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to stand and we're going to worship God again, this time as we sing, "Speak, O Lord." Things that God hates. We all know God is love. We celebrate that fact, don't we? We sing about that. The most well-known verse in Scripture reminds us of that fact. For God so loved the world. But here in Proverbs, we're also reminded that God hates. We find here a list of seven things that he hates. Elsewhere it says, for example, in Psalm 5 verse 5, "You hate all evildoers." Psalm 11 verse 5 seems even harsher. It says, "The wicked, those who love violence, he hates with a passion." How can a loving God also hate? When the Bible talks about God hating, it means God has set himself against. These are things that God is completely against. He utterly opposes them. And it is God's love for us, his compassion for the human race, that prompts God to hate these things so much with such a vengeance. He is, of course, a holy God, a perfect God that can stand no sin. But also in regard to what these things do to us and do to those around us, he hates them. He hates sin and will always deal with it. Again, the Bible tells us clearly the wages of sin is death. God hates sin so much and he deals with it. Billy Graham said, "God hates sin. He will judge it with the fierceness of his wrath. Why? Because he's a holy God who loves us and cares for us. He hates sin and will always act against it. That's why we are so thankful for Jesus, isn't it? Who died on the cross, taking the wrath that we deserve. God hates sin. God loves us. The solution, Jesus. He died on the cross for your sins and mine. He took the wrath of God upon himself. So you do not have to. That's why it is so important to trust in the Lord Jesus yourself. Then he is the one that will have taken your wrath for your sin. God hates sin, acts against it with his righteous wrath. And again, here in Proverbs, we're reminded specifically of some things God hates. Specifically, seven things that God hates, or to be accurate, six things he hates, all accumulating into that which is an abomination to him. An abomination, literally detestable, repulsive, loathsome to God. That's what we find here in this passage. Now, this passage is not giving us a list of the so-called deadly sins. Those were produced in the 6th century by Pope Gregory, and only one of them is actually mentioned in this biblical list. There are many other things the Bible says and highlights that God hates. Here we find seven of them, and they contain words, thoughts, and deeds, things that God hates, and therefore, as his children, we should hate them too, primarily in us. The first, of course, of those is, hopefully, haughty eyes. What are haughty eyes? Well, literally, from the Hebrew, high or lofty eyes, speaking of those people who would look down on others. Now, I'm looking down on you at the minute, but that's not because I'm thinking I'm any more special than you, just because I have to, although I'm looking up to the ones in the balcony, of course. But when it talks about high and lofty eyes, it is those who are full of pride. It reeks of arrogance. It reeks of people looking down at others. I am special, and you are so not. Those with haughty eyes overvalue themselves and undervalue others. Sins in others I can see, but praise the Lord, there's none in me. That attitude. And this attitude affects the ways you treat others. This is what God hates in people. And we are to have nothing to do with it. 1 Peter 5 verse 5. Young men and women, of course, in the same way be submissive to those who are older. All of you clothe yourself with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, who gives grace to the humble. Instead of having haughty eyes and looking down at others, we are to humble ourselves. And of course, the Lord Jesus is the perfect example. The King of Kings literally came and served his creation, gave his life for us. He is our example. Instead of being so full of pride, thinking we are too good to help others, we should always be willing to treat others better than ourselves. Always willing to serve others. We love to be served, don't we? We pay sometimes to go on holidays, so we have to do nothing. Others serve us. As Christians, we should be the quickest to serve others. I remember when I was young, going to some CEF events, and I noted it was always the leaders, and including the European director, who would have been out first, sneaked out, always the first doing the dishes, helping. That should be our attitude. We should almost be squashed in the door, as it were, as we go out to help. That desire should be ingrained in each one of us, and we should pray that it will be, that God will humble us. God will help us be humble, never looking down on others, but always being willing to help and to do whatever we can to help others. That should be in the natural DNA of us as Christians, but sometimes we really need to pray that it will be and that it will work out. God hates haughty eyes. He also hates a lying tongue, a liar. Proverbs 12, verse 22 tells us, lying lips are abominations to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. We are not to lie, to deceive, to try and make someone believe something that is not true. We are to be people that tell the truth in all aspects of our lives. We should not lie. Ananias and Sapphira in Acts 5, verse 1 to 11. Remember, they lied about the piece of land. They didn't have to sell it all, but before all the apostles, they declared that they sold everything and were giving all the money to the work of God. It was a lie. They suffered for it straight away. Dr. James Merritt said, they lied and they died. We need to be careful as Christians. Do not lie. We would never lie, though, would we? As Christians, we are immune to lying. No, we're not. No, you're not. And although I try not to, I am not immune to it either, because we are still sinful. May the Lord help us to see what a terrible, dishonoring thing it is to lie about anything to anybody at any time. Psalm 120, verse 2 should be our prayer. That verse says, deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. Not simply deliver us from others who may tell lies, but deliver us ourselves. So we do not tell lies, that we tell the truth. We need to pray that God will help us speak out the truth in a world where we constantly hear lies. May God give us the courage to teach what is right, to tell others what is right. That we will hate lies, not tolerate lies coming from our own mouths, but also from others. God hates lies. God hates hands that shed innocent blood. Again, someone has said in these verses, it goes right from the head down to your feet. All the different things that God hates. Hands that shed innocent blood. You know, we can look at the TV and we can be shocked when we see innocents being murdered. In the midst of war, children and babies being slaughtered, we are horrified, and we should be horrified, because God absolutely hates that too. God is totally against it. Those that are involved in such things will have to pay for their actions. And we need to be praying carefully for those situations, asking God for wisdom as we pray to how we can pray in those difficult situations around the world. But nowadays, we have devalued life so much. Laws are changing, taking away the much-needed protection for the most vulnerable in society, for our youngest and oldest. We forget that life is sacred. Life is given by God, created in his image. Therefore, we must respect it. We must respect it. God hates hands that shed innocent blood, and so should we. We should not tolerate it. And again, linking with that, God hates a heart that devises wicked plans. Those who desire to see others fail and develop schemes to make it happen. Those that develop schemes to cause others to suffer so they can have more. That desire to get what you want and forget the effect it has on others. God hates those who scheme. Are you a schemer? Am I a schemer? Hopefully not. Hopefully we do not scheme to get our own way in things. Others, of course, as we see, do. In the Bible, we find out different people who scheme. Haman schemed to try to wipe out the Jewish people. He ended up dead. Wicked King Ahab and Jezebel schemed. They cheated and killed Naboth to get control of his vineyard. They ended up in a difficult situation too, dead. Judas, of course, schemed how he could betray the Lord Jesus himself. Do not think God does not notice what is going on in this world. Those that scheme behind the scenes will get what's coming to them in the end. What's done in the darkness will be brought into the light. We need to keep praying that God will disrupt people's evil schemes. We need to keep praying that God will disrupt the schemes of the devil, that he will bring them to naught. And we need to make sure we are not involved in schemes ourselves. As Christians, remember, we are far from perfect. We think of others perhaps as far from perfect. We need to look at our own hearts. Jesus died for us because we are so far from perfect. There was no other way. We needed his death. And we need to rely on him then day by day for help. What else does God hate? Feet that are swift in running to evil. You know, it does not take much for human beings to rush into evil, to do wrong. We can know what is right, what is wrong so clearly. Yet, when something appeals to us, we can be so quick to go through, to throw out what we know and do what we want. Often what we know in our head gets set aside for our feelings. We give in to temptation. We give in to those desires that we know are wrong. And so often we do so very quickly. We must be careful. We must think it through. Disobeying God is a serious thing. Without Christ, it will assure you of an eternity outside of God's blessings. The Bible says hell. That's how difficult, that's how wrong sin is. For the Christian, it can completely ruin our witness. For the Christian, it can ruin our service. For the Christian, it can rob you of his blessings now. We are called to resist. We are called to pray. Lead us not into temptation. Why? Because as Christians, we can be so easily, we can run and do the things we know are wrong. We need to be praying that God will lead us not into temptation, that God will give us the strength to take a stand in what we know. Instead of running to evil, we need to make sure we are fleeing from it, because God hates it. God sets himself against it. Therefore, so should we. And we need to continually ask God's help to do that. God hates a false witness who pours out lies. Again, this is not simply telling lies. That was covered earlier. This is telling lies about someone else. This pictures someone giving a false testimony in a court case, bringing the result that someone gets sentenced when they're innocent. Telling lies about someone else, often so we can be seen in a certain way better and they can be left to suffer. We are called not to do that. How could we do that? Well, sometimes we can easily do what's done in this picture. We can pass on a little bit of juicy information we've heard about someone else without even knowing if it's true. A little bit of information that damages someone else's character without verifying if it's true or not. And even if it is true, we shouldn't be passing it on in the first place. But we can all be guilty of that. Another word the Bible talks about, uses for that is, of course, gossip. We think gossip doesn't matter. If you think gossip doesn't matter, read your Bible. Read your Bible and see what it says about gossip. It is so wrong, it destroys other people's lives. We are to have nothing to do with it. Do not do it. God hates it. It can ruin someone's reputation. Do not tolerate it. Do not listen to gossip. Walk away. So often we tolerate it, we enjoy it, we enjoy sharing it, listening to it, we enjoy hearing what other people have heard, something harsh happens. We can be so quick to pass it on. As Christians, no, we shouldn't, because we don't know if it's true to start with. If we're passing on something that's not true, that's really pouring out lies about someone, hurting someone so much. God hates it. Ephesians 4 verse 29 tells us what we should do instead. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. People's lives are hard enough. We should not be going out there making it worse, especially when we hold the name of Christ, Christians. We should be seeking to help others, to build others up by what we say, taking opportunities to build up, not rip apart someone's reputation or hurt someone. Let us be so careful in the information we pass, because God hates it when we're a false witness. That is, when we're breathing out lies, things that are not true, hurting someone's reputation. And then lastly here, one who sows discord among brothers. Again, these are linked closely with one another, aren't they? This is one who is not happy with harmony, one who does not strive for peace and unity, but the exact opposite. They love strife, misery. They have their own agenda. They pass on at times misinformation, partial truths, seeking to rile others up. This is the kind of person who's always stirring the pot, and not in a good way. This, of course, goes directly against how we are to act as Christians. It is something we're reminded here that God hates. Instead of sowing discord, we are to support each other. We are called to lift each other up. We are called to be peacemakers, aren't we? Matthew 5, verse 9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." We should be seeking peace, not discord. That is to be our goal, our agenda, bringing peace into the situations when we come, not stirring things up and making things worse. We need to be careful. We need to be careful. Here we find seven things that God hates, that he totally opposes. Therefore, we should hate them too. We should oppose them, first and foremost in our own lives. So often we can be quick to look at others to point the finger. No, we need to be looking at ourselves first and foremost here, making sure these attitudes, these actions are not found in us. We need to be praying that God will help us not slip into these behaviors, because as Christians we can. We are not immune. It is arrogant to think we are. We need God's help. We need to be praying for his help. For his help not to fall into temptation. For his help not to pass on things that are untrue. For his help not to be hurtful, but to be helpful instead. And when we find any of these things that God hates in our lives, what do? As Christians, we ask God to help us stop acting like that. We need to ask his forgiveness straight away for those things we've done wrong, and ask his help to do what is right. So instead of bringing shame to the name of the Lord, instead of bringing dishonor, we can bring honor and glory as we seek to live for him, encouraging and helping those around us. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask your forgiveness, because Lord, as we read those verses at times, we can see some of those things in us. As a minister, Lord, I confess I am far from perfect too, and I can see some of those things rising at times in my life. Lord, help us. Help us to hate what you hate. Help us to stand away from them. Help us to be quick to ask your forgiveness as soon as we see them in our lives. Help us to stop acting like that, feeling like that. Help us, Lord, to turn and live as you would have us do. Lord, we need your help. Continue to humble us so we realize we need your help. We look to you each day so we can walk as we should, talk as we should, for you, our Lord. Help us, Lord, be a benefit to those around us. Help us bring joy and a blessing to those around us as we live how you call us to, instead of bringing hurt. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to stand and sing our final hymn, "Will Your Anchor Hold?"
Will your anchor hold in the storms of life when the clouds all fold their wings of strife?
And now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may overflow in hope. Amen.